Anthony Wright made headlines in 2016 when, at 44, he walked out of prison after spending 25 years behind bars for a murder he did not commit. The North Philadelphia native was exonerated by DNA evidence and sued the city, winning nearly $10 million. He became one of the first of a string of more than 20 people freed after being wrongfully convicted by the Philadelphia DA's office. I chatted with Anthony Wright when he visited the WHYY studios. Tony? Welcome. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
And you're also working on a documentary, right?
Yes.
So tell me, why are you so driven to tell your story?
To inspire people. I endured a lot in my life going through that, being inside. There's so many men and women going through the same thing I've been through.
You grew up in North Philadelphia. Even though you dropped out of high school at 16, you were an athlete and you had dreams of playing pro football. Can you talk a little bit about your life before all of this happened?
I was just a regular, teenager, man. God, growing up, trying to find my way in life. I became a parent at a very early age. So, most of my focus at that time, 15, went from myself trying to survive, trying to figure out how was I going to take care of this baby. And not only that, growing up, my mother was in a very abusive relationship. So I watched that. Sports was therapeutic for me. That's where my peace came from. It was so therapeutic for me to go outside and play football, go to the gym and box. It was the way I escaped.
And so you were 1991, according to your book, you were chilling with your son.
Yeah.
All of a sudden the police show up talking about a murder. You knew nothing about it. And then all of a sudden you became extremely afraid.
It was crazy. I came downstairs by 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday. My mother just woke me up. She cooked brunch. And simultaneously the phone rang and it was a knock at the door. And on the phone was my son's grandfather. I said, hello. He said, the police just left here looking for you. And at the same time, I'm looking up at my mother. She pulled the curtain back and looked back at me. And I said, what's wrong? She said, it's the police. She opened the door. They came in, introduced themselves. And they said they wanted to talk to me. Talk to me about what? They wanted to ask me some questions. And my mother went ballistic. So I said, Mom, calm down. Everything's fine. I didn't do anything. So they didn't want to question me there at my mother's home.
Yeah.
They wanted me to accompany them to a police administration building. And once we got down to 8th and Race, it seemed like all hell broke loose. So they never asked me a question. They told me why I was there. They said they know I committed this crime. I murdered this 77-year-old woman. And I told them that from the time of question to the time they arrived at my mother's house around 1 o'clock, where I was at, what I was doing, and who I was with. And they kept saying, no, you did this. They said they had witnesses and evidence to back it up.
Then you learned that a 77-year-old black woman, Louise Talley, was murdered, and they're saying you did it, and they're threatening you, intimidating you, and then they force you to sign a confession. And you said that was the worst decision you ever made.
Worst decision I ever made. The first thing is wow. It's a huge wow factor. So the terminology, we use today when somebody's pulling a joke on you, it's called you being punked. I was waiting for somebody to tell me I was being punked. To be accused and charged for doing this to a woman that's 77 years old, I was numb. I was in shock for a long time.
Yeah, and I want to just point out the fact that you were convicted, did not get the death penalty, but got life without parole, which is basically death by incarceration. Yeah. And when you were in prison, you just talk about that, the fact that you're in there for sodomizing, raping a woman. You did not do this. The guards are looking at you some kind of way. The prisoners, other inmates looking at you some kind of way. How did you stay sane?
The first day after I was convicted and I was moved from the county jail, which is Holmesburg, and I was transferred to Greater Fort Prison, and I walked in. The guard said, they waiting on you. I'm 22 years old, and I was like, wow, all type of stuff was going through my head. I was literally preparing to die. Prepared to die.
And people, I want to leave some for the book for people to read, but you earned a nickname, Bolo.
Yeah.
Explain how you got that nickname in prison.
I'm from North Philadelphia. I'm from North Philadelphia, you know what I mean? You know, at that time, you know what I mean, I felt like it probably was the grimiest place in the world, you know what I mean? So, you know, I came up around a lot of people fighting and scratching and clawing, you know what I mean? And the name Bodo just fit me perfectly. Somebody gave me that name in a boxing gym, one day. I knocked somebody out, and they said Bodo, and it's been with me ever since.
Yeah, and you worked out at the gym 3 times a day, 7 days a week. You stayed busy. And you wrote 10 letters a day.
10 letters a day.
Trying to get somebody to take your case.
Yeah.
And your mother died when you were in prison.
Wow.
And right when she died, it seemed like everything changed.
The minute of her funeral, I was in a cell by myself just thinking about my mother. My mother was 44 years old when she passed away. I was 27 years old. Up until that very day, this woman gave me her soul, her life, everything. And I just felt that the one time she needed me, I couldn't be there. And I don't live my life with no regrets, but I'm haunted by that every day. I think about my mother.
And that was the day of your mother's funeral. I actually cried when I read this part of the book. You received a letter from the Innocence Project saying that they would take your case.
My uncle tell a story the best. And he wrote me a letter one day, and he said, I know my sister so well. The moment she got to heaven, she told God, you know what I mean, help my son. And the day of her funeral, I'm laying in the cell, and a guard slid this big manila envelope through my door and opened the envelope, and it was from the Innocence Project. It was actually the questionnaire that was them doing their due diligence on my case, their investigation. And a little while after that, I got the letter that I've been waiting for my whole life. And that was them telling me that they were accepting my case. And that very day they accepted my case, I felt like the problem was no longer mine. It was theirs. I just had to be patient and wait my turn.
And fast forward years later, you were tried a second time.
Yeah.
That's when I met you.
Yeah.
You were acquitted. All of this part of your story is well documented in news. When you walked out of prison, you sued the city of Philadelphia and got one of the highest settlements.
Yeah.
And you kind of opened the door to many other men and women being exonerated in Pennsylvania and specifically tied to the police officers. What do you hope happens in the future?
It's terrible. I mean, what they did, like, this didn't happen for a year, a month, 6 months. We talking about 25 years, 9,074 days. I've missed my son entire life. I'm be 50 years old in a couple of days. You know, I'm happy I'm here. You have two beautiful grandchildren. But, we work every day. Like, I don't understand how they combat a situation such as mine and so many other men and women that were in the same situation like us. You know what I mean? Just lock us up, throw away the key, and then kick us back out here to nothing. No amount of money can make up for the travesty that we suffered.
And we have to leave it there, unfortunately. Live to tell the trial, conviction, and exoneration of Anthony Wright by Anthony Wright. Anthony, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.